And my next guest now is joining me. It's the lovely Wendy Chamberlain from Chamberlain Property Advocates. Good afternoon, Wendy. How are you?
Hi, Vilma. I am very well. Very well. How are you?
Very good. You sound lovely and clear.
Great.
Well, fantastic. Well, you know, this is the best time of the year, I think, when it comes to properties and investments, and we're going to be talking about that. And now that we are officially in the spring, tell us about the auction clearance rates. Have you noticed any changes with the auction and the numbers and buys at the moment?
We are officially in spring. Woohoo! So that means, traditionally, it means more homes come on the market for sale. So we are seeing an increase in the auction clearance rates. Depending on whether you're looking at results of real estate or domain, they are around about the 70-71% mark off 1,134 reported auctions. Now, let's look at that compared to this time last year, it was at 60. So as we know, last year was more in a buyer's market. The market was a bit further down than it is. It's actually had a bit of a jump, and it continues to move up as we move into the rest of the year and into the spring selling season. So where auction rates are clearing at 70%, 70-80%, that's what we call a seller's market. So that's what we're moving into, seller's market.
Absolutely. Now, we've already sort of coming into our ninth month from the beginning of the year. How is it projected? Like, you know, we're starting off in January now, we're in September. How's those 9 months been going in the industry itself?
Well, Vilma, listeners that are regulars on the show would know that we've been talking about the fact that prices are going to start increasing this year, right from even from late last year into January, Feb this year, when I think it was on earlier in the year, and we're starting to see that. And so there seems to have been like a change in buyer sentiment as we've moved into and through 2025, and that's now starting to show with the number of people attending auctions but also bidding at auctions. We attended a client auction on Saturday and there were seven bidders, and I'm hearing that a lot from speaking to various real estate agents, that there's lots more people out. You're getting four, five plus bidders at auctions, where if we go back last year or earlier this year, you might get one or two, or there were even, you know, crickets, donuts, not even anyone bidding at auction. So that is a really good indicator of the market sentiment and how people are feeling. And buyers certainly are out and about, and they're more confident, and they are bidding to buy homes.
Well, I probably would agree with that as well. Amazing. Now, and this is a very nice time to set up your home if you are in the market of selling, because leading up between now and Christmas. But just before I wanted to ask you, as we said, the market update for 2025 and the end of 2025 is looming. So as we said, you see the market heading in a good positive light.
Well, if you're a seller and prices are increasing, which is what we're seeing, yes, it is still a little bit patchy around Melbourne, depending what type of property we're talking about and where it is, because certain we've got over 330 suburbs across Melbourne. So that's something to remember when you're looking at a median price, but also a clearance rate. That's like an average of everywhere. So certain pockets and suburbs will do better than others. But we are definitely seeing more confidence in the market, and as we head into this, which we call the spring selling season, there is still a shortage of supply of homes, which is basic supply and demand, which I've talked about before, is where there's more demand from buyers to buy homes and there's not as many for sale that aren't necessarily suiting their needs or whatever they're looking for. That's the kind of thing that underpins the market and drives the market. So even though we have seen some interest rate cuts as well, that I think is giving confidence to buyers, because what it does, when interest rates are cut, it can increase their borrowing capacity, subject to all other things they need to talk about with their bank or their broker. But if they've got more money to spend, then they're going to be out and about looking at properties, and that's what can cause a market to lift, is where you've got buyers competing against each other, and that's definitely what we've started to see.
Now, I was going to ask you too, The government has introduced a 5% discount for new home buyers. How do you think that's going to fare out in the coming months and year?
So the First Home Guarantee Scheme has been, I've seen it all across my socials. It seems to be everything that people in real estate are talking about, which is my world. And so this is a federal scheme. The government announced new changes coming into it. They were going to come in on the 1st of January 2026, but they've brought it forward. And so now these changes come into effect from the 1st of October 2025, which is only in a matter of weeks. It's not even a month away now.
Yes.
And those changes, I believe, are going to have a significant impact in the price bracket in which the first-time buyers now can purchase. So the changes, the main changes here that there's no longer a place limit. They used to release these and there's only a certain number of places and you had to apply, and if you missed out, you had to wait for the next round to be released. That's gone. What it is that all Australian first-time buyers that have saved a 5% deposit can now apply for this first-home guarantee scheme. So you're only needing a 5% deposit now to purchase a property, whereas previously the banks, ideally they want you to have a 20% deposit, which in this day and age with where wages are and having keeping pace with what it costs now to buy a property, that's taking many first-time buyers years and years to save. Mm-hmm. So the bank, the government has stepped in there and said, well, we're going to guarantee the balance of those funds so that now the first-time buyers only need that 5%. So what it's done, it's removed something called Lenders Mortgage Insurance, or LMI, and that is a cost that ordinarily anyone that didn't have that 20% deposit, they'd have to pay that additional. It's an insurance for the banks. It's not for the buyer, it's for the banks. The government is effectively guaranteeing that now. So if anybody defaults on a loan, the government is guaranteeing that. So what we're seeing is there's going to be a raft of first-home buyers who have had the 5% saved but haven't been able to get to that 20% yet. They now had the floodgates open for them. And the other thing is that two more things. There's now no income cap on it. So it used to be capped at $125,000 maximum for a couple, but that's all they could earn. That's gone now. So that income cap is gone. It means any first-home buyer with a 5% deposit on any income can partake of this scheme.
It's not bad, is it? But let's hope it doesn't get out of hand and it bites you back in the bottom, so to speak, because you're leaving it very open and some people mightn't be able to, it's all good having your 5%, but if they're not able to keep up the repayments, and what I'm hearing this afternoon, that the government will support that.
Well, they're going to be guaranteeing.
Guaranteeing, yeah.
Yes. And the other major change is in relation to the property price caps. So previous to this announcement, the maximum that they would cover was a property up to $800,000. Mm-hmm. That's now been lifted to $950,000 in Melbourne and regional.
So is that the limit that they will give you the 5% at $950,000?
Correct. So the property needs to be priced at $950,000 or less, and then you can use just a 5% deposit. Mm. Now, Vilma, what we always see when any type of government incentives and things come in relation to first-home buyers, we always see the market goes up.
Mm.
And so I believe there's going to be huge competition in that sub-$950,000 bracket, with more first-home buyers obviously being able to get into the pool to buy. They've only got the 5%.
Mm-hmm.
And I can see myself getting really, really busy. However, I would just want to forewarn people, anyone looking at these schemes, to make sure you understand what a $950,000 purchase and the mortgage that goes with that on a 5% deposit,
yes,
your monthly payments, what they're going to be.
High.
They're going to be high. And the other thing I've noticed with first-home buyers is because either they've been renting, living with parents, whatever their situation has been, they've not had to pay for all of these other ongoing costs of owning a home. We're talking rates. We're talking your water bill's going up because now you've got to pay for the sewage connection, not just for the water you're using. These types of things. Now you're going to pay owner's corporation fees if you've bought something that has that on it. there's not just the fact that you now have a mortgage, there's all these additional costs, which are the costs of owning a home.
Exactly. And talking about that, because I just wanted to share, have your thoughts now, because we were talking about it last time you were on, Wendy, about the emergency level or the emergency services and the volunteers levy and how it's being calculated. And I did a little bit of homework as well. And they're very clever the way they've gone about it. And once again, we can't blame council because they're just collecting the money, but the way the state government has gone about using their good strategy to calculate on your capital of your property and land what you should pay for these levies. And I still believe today if they were to have these levies, I think the emergency service is fixed. I think it's gone up to this year to about 136, give or take. But the other levy is calculated on your capital of your property, and my home might be more expensive than my next door neighbour's, so it's calculated all differently, which I think is not right. I think it should be everyone's got the same, doesn't matter how more expensive your home is or whatever, but they've calculated very cleverly on your capital of every home that's in your street differently, which I think is terrible. And I know that mine's gone up just under $300.
Did you see, because we did get our recent rates notices.
Yes, I saw it. That's where I saw it, yeah.
It's separated out now.
That's right, because the I actually rang the number for the levies because it's a state government. It's two separate identities. Council have nothing to do with it. Council are just collecting. And if people default on those levies, council will have to forfeit the bill because they've got to pay back to the state government. So
yes.
And so therefore, what happens now is that, I personally feel that that is, I don't think it's right the way they've done it. And people are now, some people are, you know, like I'm just under 300. God forbid if you're in a $2 million home or $5 million and you still could be a pensioner, you know what I'm saying, it's going to cost a lot of money for a lot of people. And you were right because you did say that. It's going to be judged on the capital of your property.
That's right. And I think what some of these people forget about is that people might be asset rich and they're cash poor. So they may have lived in the home for a very long time. They may own it free and clear. However, they may be a pensioner and they may not have that additional funds to pay these things. And the Victorian government, they're quite cheeky how they're doing it because, like you just said, they're making the councils collect it. And if the council doesn't collect it, they're going to charge the council anyway.
That's right.
Like they should have collected it and passed it through.
That's right. And
they're making someone else do the dirty work for them.
Correct. And also too, if you're a property owner of a number of properties, that's a bit fierce too. You know, that's quite rough. And if you live out in the country as well, and, you know, to some people that extra bit certainly is a lot of money. And if you own four or five or six properties, yes, of course, your tenants, you'll have to pass it on. But I think that's quite sneaky. I mean, that's my personal view, and just the way they've gone and calculated on the capital of your home, and yet my neighbour, his home might be more expensive and he's paying a bit more, and my other neighbour has got a cheaper home because it's run down and whatever, and he's paying a lot less. So I don't know. I just find it bizarre.
There is inequality to it from that perspective.
Yes.
Based on, like, how big your house is, effectively.
It is. That's right.
And on that note, like, did you see, it's only, I saw it sort of in the wind, someone was proposing that they charge you a vacant bedroom tax.
Yes, that's what I heard as well. I mean, really? I mean, it's really getting out of hand now. I know that, you know, we went through a very rough patch there a few years back, and we all know that they want to recuperate their money, and then they're saying, well, you know, the economy is very low because people aren't spending and it's very tough out there, but they're making it tough.
Yes, well, what I want to say about that, Vilma, is in relation to what the government is spending their money on, maybe look at spending money on the things that people think matter, such as hospitals and roads.
Correct.
And things.
Correct. Absolutely. Well, you know, so, I mean, being in your industry at the present, with all these levies that are coming on, we have great incentives, yeah, 5%, but you can only, you know, purchase a property up to $950,000. That's good, and that's going to be busy. But are we sure it's not for land and package homes? It's definitely for any home under that price bracket.
It's any type of home that's a residential home, and you have to live in it.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's important to know. Well, this is a very good time to be able to start learning on home buying secrets. And Wendy's got a course that's out, and it actually it's a self-paced learning course for everyone looking to buy their home, and sometimes also people just wanting to buy it for the very, very first time. So just give us a rundown on how that course is handled and run.
Yes, Vilma. It's called Home Buying Secrets, so you can go to homebuyingsecrets.com.au. And what I've done is I've taken my 30 years of knowledge in real estate and I've brain dumped it into this program, which shows you all of the things, all of those steps and the information that you need to be able to buy a home. So we cover, there's a module on all of those costs that you now will need to accommodate as a homeowner. So we map all that out for you, so there's no gotchas in there. We show you how to talk to real estate agents. We show you how to do the due diligence research, know what a property's going to be worth, so you've got a good chance of actually being able to buy it at auction and not get outbid because you'll have done that due diligence. And there's quite, it's self-paced. You follow the bouncing ball, and at the end of it, you will have the knowledge you need and the confidence to be out there and buying a home.
Absolutely. Now, if you want some more information, you can go to www.chamberlainadvocates.com.au. And if you do want to make an inquiry, just go to inquire@chamberlainadvocates.com.au and tell us about the free ebook, Wendy.
Yes, I have put together for the Northwest FM listeners an ebook about tips and strategies when it comes to buying a home. So if that's something of interest, you can go to our website, which is chamberlainadvocates.com.au/Northwest FM. Pop in your details and you'll get that sent through to your inbox.
Good on you. Now, I just wanted to share with our listeners, if we are selling a property, especially now coming into the springtime, do you always think it's a good idea to get it spruced up by an interior person? How would you go about that? Like in your case, you'd go in and you have a look at the home, and I mean, you've seen many homes over the 30 plus years you've been doing it, and some homes do look a bit tired. Would you recommend them to sort of spruce it up a little bit so they could possibly cash in a bit more?
Well, there's a rule in real estate, which is for every dollar you spend, you want to get $3 back.
Oh, so good one.
Every house is case by case. So sometimes it's just a tidy up that's ample. It can be low-cost things such as a coat of paint, possibly replacing carpets, that kind of thing. But you've got to be careful of not changing one thing and then making other things look really old and dated, because it's like, where do you stop? You keep going. So it depends on the home. It depends on who's likely to buy the property. So if it was going to be, for example, a site that maybe a developer would buy and they're going to knock the house over anyway, there's no point spending the money. But if you know that you've got families looking to buy the property, well, then you might do some bits and pieces. It's just about a tidy up. What you want to make sure is that people can see themselves living in the home. So you put away things like personal mementos and photos. You tidy the garden because that's that first impression. Make sure your front fence is nice and neat and tidy and so forth. And fix any bits and pieces, because what you don't want to do is have somebody see something and go, oh, wonder what the problem is there. Because once they see one thing, they'll think there's more things.
Exactly. And that normally happens. And just for our listeners too, you'll always find Wendy doing a podcast. She's also an international best-selling author, speaker, and, of course, a licensed estate agent. But not only that, buyer's advocate and a seller's advocate, and they work for you. And they make sure that the people people that the real estate agents are doing the right thing. So they're your right arm when buying and selling a property, which is so important. And if you do have any inquiries, just go to inquire@chamberlainadvocates.com.au and she'd be more than happy to receive and give you some information and give you a lending hand. Well, look, thank you very much for your time, Wendy, this afternoon. And I know that we'll speak again. Always a wealth of information and knowledge. And boy, are we in for the next three months of a roller coaster in real estate.
I think so. I think I'm going to be very, very busy. I've got an offer in the works at the moment for one of my clients, so fingers crossed we get to buy them a home.
Yes, absolutely. Well, I'm sure you will, and you do it very well. Well, thank you for your time, and you have a great week ahead of you, and always appreciate your time.
Thanks, Vilma. Always love coming on and having a chat.
Good on you. Bye for now.